This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, March 22nd. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, the Justice Department is suing Apple, alleging the company is illegally monopolizing the smartphone market. We'll find out why this is different from other antitrust cases and what it could mean for Apple's future from WSJ tech editor Bradley Olson. Then, in more Apple news this week, the iPhone maker is looking to integrate artificial intelligence into its devices, and it could potentially partner with other companies to boost its efforts. WSJ reporter Aaron Tilley tells us about Apple's AI push and how it might change the user experience. But first, yesterday, the Justice Department and more than a dozen states sued Apple. The complaint alleges that the company blocked software developers and mobile gaming companies from offering better options on the iPhone, resulting in higher prices for consumers. Here's what Attorney General Merrick Garland said about the suit in a press conference yesterday.
We allege that Apple has consolidated its monopoly power, not by making its own products better, but by making other products worse.
It's not the first time that Apple has been sued over non-competitive practices. One of our tech editors, Brad Olson, joins me now with more. Brad, what did the DOJ say about this lawsuit?
The Justice Department basically said that Apple is abusing its market power and essentially making it so that there's less competition for use of an iPhone or things that might be possible on an iPhone because of what Apple is doing and because of all the rules that they put in place and the restrictions that are there for anybody that wants to have an app or do something with their app or connect hardware to the Apple ecosystem or any of those kinds of things. They're saying it's too hard to do that, and Apple makes it hard on purpose.
This is the latest in a series of moves by U.S. antitrust officials and EU regulators against tech giants like Amazon, Meta, Google, and Apple. Why is this DOJ suit against Apple significant? How is it different?
Well, in this case, Apple has also faced a lot of regulatory scrutiny over the App Store and the commission that it charges and the way that it handles it and the tight control that it has over it. This is very distinct from that. It's actually about, again, how Apple interacts with outside parties that want access to its users. Also, the other cases that the different regulators have brought against the other tech companies are sort of all based on different aspects of what those companies do. They are essentially all going after kind of the broad power of technology companies, but in the end, they are doing so with different means. In the Google case, one of the big sticking points is how Google deals with ad software, the marketplace that it creates for bidding on digital advertising. And then another aspect of the case is a deal that it has with Apple to be the default search provider on the Safari browser. Other things that they have done, they have scrutinized acquisitions. So in the case with Meta Platforms, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, the Federal Trade Commission has scrutinized Meta's acquisition of WhatsApp and Instagram and said that there were anti-competitive aspects of that. With Amazon, it has to do with the third-party marketplace and how Amazon interacts with its sellers. And so with all these four giant technology companies, it's an effort by the Biden administration to really rein in the power of big tech.
Apple is facing other antitrust issues aside from this, right? There was the Epic Games ruling recently. How did that play out, and how might that impact this case?
What we understand is that the Epic Games ruling doesn't govern the decision that will occur in this case, but it would be instructive. It would be something that they would consider because that case already went all the way through the Supreme Court. It went through appeals, and then the Supreme Court declined to hear appeals. And that case was just about whether Apple is monopolistic in its control of who can access the App Store and then the payments that it collects from software makers.
What did Apple say about yesterday's lawsuit?
Apple said that the way that they administer their ecosystem, which is hardware and software that are interconnected, as anybody knows who's used an Apple product, Apple likes to say it just works, it's easy, and it's because we tightly manage and control everything. And so Apple has said that the way we do this is fundamental to who we are as a company, and there's not a real antitrust claim to stop that. They don't have a monopoly. The criteria for a monopoly is if you have as much as 70% market share, for example. And Apple has lower than that, 65% in the U.S., according to the Justice Department, in terms of the smartphone market. And then the Justice Department has also pointed out that for very high-end phones, something like an iPhone Pro Max, the highest-end phones, that Apple really has a much greater share of the market. But Apple's contention is, we don't have a monopoly. The way that we're managing this is to protect consumers and users, both their safety and privacy, and we absolutely have a legal right to do this. We know that the DOJ has been looking into Apple since about 2019. Apple has actually made the claim that the issues around which they were questioned have changed several times. Apple's sort of trying to paint this lawsuit and investigation as something where the Justice Department was really searching to see what would stick.
What are analysts and investors saying about the suit?
A lot of analysts, and this is analysts both like investor analysts, Wall Street people, and then you might say litigation analysts. They're paying attention to Apple's track record. Apple has been winning these cases a number of times. For those who reviewed the evidence in the Epic case, it definitely looked like Apple had shown behavior that could have seemed to have been taking steps for the betterment of their business and not necessarily thinking about what would have been better for the consumer or an open marketplace. But in the end, Apple won the case.
So the DOJ filed this suit yesterday. What happens next?
The next thing is there's going to be a lot of arguments over what can be admitted into evidence. And then we'll just have the trial. And the next question is whether or not it will be a jury trial or a trial in front of a judge. The Epic case was a trial that was just in front of a judge. There's some thinking that if there's a trial that is in front of a jury, it might be a little better or an easier scenario for the Justice Department. But I guess we just have to wait and see what happens there.
That was Brad Olson, a WSJ tech editor. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. After the break, we'll look at some other Apple news, how the company is playing catch up in the generative AI boom. Stick around.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
As tech companies have embraced AI, some investors are concerned that Apple has fallen behind in the AI race. Now, though, it's looking to play catch-up and partner with other companies. Apple has held discussions with AI software providers including Google, OpenAI, and Cohere. WSJ reporter Aaron Tilley joins me now to talk about how this could change the experience of using Apple's devices. Aaron, why is Apple looking to partner with other companies?
For a number of reasons. They are building internally their own AI tools. They've been doing that for years. And with the rise of this so-called generative AI or large language models that OpenAI really pioneered with ChatGPT, they've been trying to invest and catch up there. But Apple's AI work and its AI research is challenged in some ways. It's very privacy and device centric, so it's not sending a lot to the cloud, which really limits the size of the sort of AI models they can build. And the kind of data that they can collect is quite limited too, which also limits the size and the scope of their models they're able to build. So as they try to catch up in this race for generative AI, they're building it in-house, but they're also looking at what's out there in the world and how they could potentially incorporate an external AI system to power some of their products, because they're really looking to bring generative AI to basically all their software.
How does Apple already use AI on its devices?
Like any modern tech company, they've been playing around and incorporating AI into a lot of their products. This is everything from voice recognition to image recognition to aspects around health tracking. These all incorporate very discrete, tiny artificial intelligence techniques. So this isn't new to them, and they've been working on this for years, but they were never really considered the most cutting edge or the most advanced.
How could Apple integrate more powerful generative AI into its devices? What would that look like?
They've been looking at a number of areas to incorporate generative AI, things like text generation for writing emails, or a more robust search function with their Spotlight search feature, photo editing.
Do we have a sense of when the result of this kind of partnership might end up on Apple's devices?
Yeah, Apple's really targeting for its next release of its iOS operating system for its iPhones to release a bunch of generative AI technology. And so that typically happens in June at the Worldwide Developers Conference. They're under pressure from investors. They really need to sell some sort of AI story.
We should note that spokespeople for Google, OpenAI, and Cohere declined to comment. What did Apple say about these potential partnerships?
Well, Apple typically, as it does not comment on any future products or any sort of rumored partnerships, they're not commenting. But at investor meetings, Tim Cook, their CEO, has been pretty clear that, don't worry, Apple's got an AI strategy and it's going to have something big in generative AI later this year.
That was WSJ reporter Aaron Tilley. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Alex Osola. We had additional support this week from Danny Lewis. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Catherine Millsop. Our development producer is Aisha El Muslim. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are the deputy editors. And Philana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back this afternoon with our TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM-agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.